Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. At 5:45 will be our Bet 365 triple option feature. A little after 5:20, D. Orlando Ledbetter, you've heard him so many times here on the Big 870 WWL and for so many years covering the Atlanta Falcons. Before we go to James, texter asked about Harold Perkins and where would I have ranked him in this draft class. Harold was smart to come back and play another year. Harold is an immensely gifted athlete, but what position? Where would you play him? Okay, he's really best rushing the quarterback. That's what he does extremely well. But Harold's second number is a 2. He's in the 220 range. So I think it's really better off he come back, maybe have a little bit more defined position. They're going to play him at that star linebacker spot, which is kind of part safety, part outside linebacker. But my thing with Harold Perkins, get after the quarterback. Okay, rush the quarterback. That's what you can do well. And I think LSU and some of their defensive staff, they started to kind of reinvent the wheel after Texas A&M in his freshman year ran the football at him constantly. And, you know, Achane, he's still running. They ain't tackled him since. But he's better off coming back, having a defined position. He's a tremendous athlete. And also, he's coming off a major knee injury. So, and that you can come back from today. It's all about the rehab. It's not so much about what they did unless you had nerve damage. And I think he was smart to come back. And we saw Jalen Walker, as good as he was at Georgia, you know, he drops into, you know, the 15th pick in the draft. And he's not, you know what his position is. You're really not sure about Harold Perkins, exactly how Blake Baker is going to use him in that LSU defense. But if I was in Blake's ear, I'd tell him, hey, Blake, tell him to sick the quarterback. Good after him, because that dude can rush a quarterback well. And you can work on some of the other stuff, but let the NFL worry about grooming him. You know, middle linebacker is not for him. He's got to play out on the edge as a will outside linebacker. Let's go to our Oakwood Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to James. James, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, guys. I like the – I don't know about if I love, but I like the second rounder from Louisville. But, I mean – I'm kind of disappointed because we currently, in an article I just read, and it's really not hard to dispute this, rank last on offense. Like, I mean, who do they game plan for? So who does a team game plan for? So the my point is that you got this rookie. He's probably going to end up starting. You want to get some help. And I was – let me just put this. What I would have done was I would have taken the kid of Golden – the 429, to me, he's a faster Olave. I wouldn't have. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but I would have never given him an extension or whatever. I would try to trade him if possible, get a second or a third, a second or third, or for a lot, possibly a second. I know New England wanted him or was asking about him. I don't know how true it was, but it was out there. And then I also, believe it or not, I know, you know, Maryland's my old stomping ground, still is, you know. And I know the kicker for the Ravens, they're trying to let him go. Probably the best kicker. And I know we all love Morton, but me too, he's the best kicker in the history of the game. But he's got some Darren Sharper allegations or something going on over there. They're probably looking to replace him. So I think they would have gave us a good pick for him, you know, because the guy that we have, what is it? Is he from Ireland, Smith?
Yeah, Smith. Mike? Yeah, Smith.
Yeah. With the new rule changes, we did a couple of first downs from field goal range with his kind of leg. You know, I like to see him give him, I like to give him a shot with that.
Well, James, they're going to give him a legitimate shot this year. I'm telling you, and you talk about the yin and the yang of kickers.
Yeah.
When you're talking about, you know, man, we met up with Smith and he came and talked to us twice during Super Bowl week. He's taller than A-Bear. A-Bear's 6'4" and some change. He's 6'5". And I understand to put him on the practice squad in year one, okay, because he was not quite ready for prime time. I agree with you on this. It would not shock me to see him become the kicker for this football. He is immensely mentally tough, and I think you have to be that way to be a kicker in this league, and he's gifted. Man, he's got a howitzer for a leg, but I know in talking to Martin Anderson, when we've had him on and kind of one-on-one, he's made the comment, the one thing I look for, and you can tell, sometimes body types are different, but it's between the ears. Does a bad kick and a miss kick lead to another miss right after? And you got to be mentally tough to be a kicker, and he equated it a lot to almost like putting in golf. You know, sometimes you can get on the green and anything you hit goes in. And other times, I mean, you got to walk it into the hole. So there I agree with you on the value for Chris Olave coming off the multiple concussion. You weren't going to get a second round pick for him. You weren't. Teams, they're always a little bit leery in today's world, especially with head injuries. And now Chris has had some time to have, you know, the head heal, but also to go somewhere where they can get him a specialized helmet to absorb that. And a lot of guys who have had the concussions in the past, and we saw Tua with that last year, to go to a specialist and have a helmet that will not let you that kind of roll around in there as much. And man, and compared to years back, it's unbelievable how they can manipulate that helmet that you don't have as much kind of rolling around in that helmet as in years past, when they could actually pop you and pop you high. And how this didn't happen more back then is still amazing to me.
So a couple things going back to James's question about, you know, Olave and his future. They picked up the 5th-year option. They haven't extended him, so that's he's here for this year, and we'll see about his future in New Orleans. As far as Matthew Golden goes, Mike, I don't know about you. I wasn't super high on Golden. Like, yes, he tested out super well at the combine, but he was a good receiver at Texas, but
he was never great, was he?
It feels like he's going to be a wide receiver too at the NFL level. And the Saints just, I mean, you already have a couple wide receiver twos. And similar situation with the Packers where he ended up landing. Like, the Packers have a bunch of wide receiver twos. Do they have that alpha? The you know, peak of Matthew Golden is that people are hoping he can turn into like a Stephon Diggs type of receiver at the NFL level. I don't know. We'll have to see. But I'm not taking him at pick 9. And I don't
know.
I think a lot of the teams in this draft were kind of out on the receiver class. I don't think it was a great receiver class, especially when you compare it to last year. And it's one of the rare off years, because it feels like every single year you're going to have at least a couple stud receivers in the draft class. This year it was a little bit lighter at that spot. it made up for it with great running backs, and it made up for with great defensive linemen. But, you know, I just count me out on Matthew Golden at the ninth overall pick. I think going with the other Texas player and Kelvin Banks Jr. at nine was definitely the play there.
Charlie, when you got to November, was he the number one receiver at Texas?
No.
No, it was Isaiah Bond.
Who went undrafted.
And there were some off-the-field issues. And, man, timing's everything in this world. And he gets in some trouble right before the draft. And it sunk his boat like the Titanic. But if you watch yours and Arch, their first read was to Bond. It wasn't to Golden. Where Golden won? The offseason.
Yeah.
He won the offseason.
He was the combine warrior.
And so I understand why the Packers picked him, because I think now they want to play to Jordan Love's strength of throwing the ball deep. And I think they didn't have anybody who can consistently do that. The one thing Golden, when you watch him, man, he can get open deep. He can run by people, and so I understand that pick, but look where the Packers picked in comparison to the Saints.
Yeah, it was 23. I mean, it was a full, like, almost 15 spots below. So, yeah, listen, there was buzz that maybe even the Cowboys would have gone receiver there. I think they may have been in on Tet McMillan. McMillan was gone at that point. They clearly weren't in at Golden with the top 15 pick. I don't think a lot of teams were, Mike, and that's why you saw him go all the way down to 23. Now, if you're saying trade back and go get someone like Matthew Golden, that's a little bit different. But this is something that just the front office does not do. They don't trade back. I'm happy they didn't trade up this year and expend future assets, and they used all nine of their draft picks this year, but they just don't trade back. So I don't think Golden was ever really in the question for the Saints.
Yeah, when we heard that, I don't forget who wrote that about Saints are looking into trading back. What did I tell you? Ain't no way that's happening.
Never happens.
Now, eventually, I'll be wrong on that, and they will, but until they do it, I'll see it when I believe it. When we come back, we'll have on with us from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, D. Orlando Ledbetter, talking Falcons football right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, he's been there a year or two, D. Orlando Ledbetter. D, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
D, man, if there was going to be some excitement in the NFC South somewhere, you figured it had to happen in Atlanta. And I'll be honest with you, man, I love the first pick in Jalen Walker. I thought he was a top 10 pick. I know him pretty well through others and his leadership skills on the field, off the field, great guy. You know what you're getting with him as a two-down, first, second-down linebacker, and then he's going to be a rush guy on third down. But James Pierce Jr. in giving up an extra, basically a first-round pick for next year. Man, that's a real roll of the dice by Arthur Blank and Terry Fontenot and crew.
Sure, yes it is. Certainly a mortgaging part of the future for so much draft cap. James Pierce and that stack, second stack of edge rushers, you know, there were some talented guys there. Donovan Arezaruku, Mike Green, the kid from Texas A&M, Scrotton. So, but what they're saying is, hey, our guy, James Pierce, fits us and how we want to rush and get after the quarterback. So if he's able to do that, then they're like, hey, we got 2 first-round picks in the first year, and we'll just pass on to next year.
D, one of the things the Saints and the Falcons have in common, the Saints have kind of stayed away from LSU players like they got the plague. And I can say the same thing about the Falcons. I mean, they rarely have used what they've started in 66 the year before the Saints. And they stay away from Georgia players in the early rounds also.
Yeah, this was a historic pick. He was the first Georgia Bulldog to be selected by the Atlanta Falcons in the first round. They hadn't selected one in the first or the second. So, historic. I think traditionally teams don't do the regional drafts or the old college territorial drafts because, you know, the players are close to, you know, college and, you know, heck, college was fun. So, you know, they might hit back to the yard too much and kick it and so forth. So they kind of stay away from that scenario. But this kid here, he's a good kid from all accounts. Very impressive young man from Salisbury, North Carolina. And looks like he got his head on his shoulders. He's going to be just fine hanging out in the ATL about 80 miles down the road from Athens.
Bobby told me to tell you this. He was like, listen, when you're going to get Dion, tell him we ought to do this like the USFL used to do. They have some territorial picks involved. Now, how Hebert from, you know, from Cutoff, Louisiana, ends up with the Michigan Panthers, that's a much longer story for him to tell. But that was something that he said, Mike, I think would be unbelievable for the NFL if they could figure out a way, and it wouldn't be every round, but that you'd use a pick on a territorial guy. But the NFL, the monster they have, that really doesn't matter to them.
Yeah, Bobby's my man. I tell him hello. And certainly some teams still do a territorial draft. The Bengals, they tend to drift to the Ohio State guys. I'm sure they got one this year. They usually get one, maybe two of them. So some teams do not, just because of the vastness of the you know, money that they're making off the TV deals. But the teams do get to do a local day, and they bring in all the players from the area. I know the Falcons had 88 in there, and they, you know, they didn't sign any of them, but they got to, you know, come and try out and practice with them. So that's the closest we're going to get to a territorial draft.
Yeah, I told Bob, you can forget that. That ain't happening. That was great for the USFL. I understand why they did it. It was an upstart league, but that ain't happening in the NFL. D, one of the things, too, is they really, other than the final pick, really stayed on defense and getting two safeties, Xavier Watts and then Billy Bowman Jr. So two safeties for the Falcons. That's an area where I think the Falcons thought maybe we could add a couple guys veteran-wise. Didn't quite turn out like they wanted, so they go back to the college ranks and pick up Watts and also Bowman.
Yeah, no doubt. Watts is going to get a shot to win that spot next to Jesse Bates the third, and Bowman's going to be at nickelback. They're going to move him up in the slot and see if he can, you know, cover receivers from there. He's a ball hawk. He got a lot of interceptions. One thing on his resume that's a little shaky is that he misses tackles. So we got a defender talking about they're going into the NFL and they got to work on their tackling. That's something to keep your eye on.
D, going back to the first round and the James Pierce Jr. thing, trading back up with the Rams to get the 26th overall pick. You know, what was the reaction for Falcons fans? Because, you know, with the 25th overall pick, the Giants trading up with the Texans, and they get their quarterback of the future in Jackson Dart. And I know that it's like a 10-spot difference on the second-round pick that they traded back from for those teams that were in the first round. But giving up that first-round pick versus what the Giants did, giving up two third-round picks in the future to move up into the first round, it seemed like a pretty big difference in capital.
Yeah, it was. And the draft people look at it and say, hey, that was horrible. But the fans are like, hey, we got a pass rush now. And James Pierce was in the SEC, and they got to see him do his work at Tennessee. So he's a familiar name. That made it a more popular pick for him, I think. But, you know, when you look at, you know, the big picture and the draft picks in the future, you certainly know they gave up a whole lot to do that.
One of the things, D, is that we were talking about this with Nick Scarboni, who came on with us to cover the Carolina Panthers, is now the pressure on the young quarterbacks in the NFC South with Michael Penix Jr. And with Bryce, the pressure he's got, you know, with the Panthers today. Who knows what happens with the Saints and the situation with Derek Carr? Is it going to be the young quarterback in Tyler Shuck? And that's why, man, you know, gambling people today, their deal is I've seen nothing to make me not believe that the Bucs are going to make this five in a row because of the stability they have at the quarterback position.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you got the coach that always has the defense ready to play, and Coach Todd Bowles. So, yeah, I understand that. You're projecting with all these rookies. Penix only played three games. We don't know what Tyler Shuck can do after Timmer Carr, and we don't know. We saw Bryce come back and do pretty good. He dropped 44 on the Falcons in the season finale. So if he can continue that, maybe he has arrived as an NFL starting quarterback. But, yeah, I think you got to go with the Bucs at this juncture in the season.
D, one of the things I think will be a big talk in the offseason, certainly Aaron Rodgers always makes it about the vortex of the tornado with him. But the other part is what happens with Kirk Cousins. And I think, you know, we were all talking about this over the weekend, myself along with Deuce and Bobby and Mike Haas, is that wouldn't it make a little bit of sense? And it might sound morbid, but I think it happens. You wait until something happens to another quarterback. Either they get hurt or get injured, or they're not playing well in the preseason, and then you can maybe make a deal to trade off Kirk Cousins. Is that what you expect to happen?
Yeah, I think that, it's likened to a few years back when Ryan Tannehill got hurt in training camp. Jay Cutler had retired, and they went and got Jay Cutler out of retirement, paid him $10 million for one season, and he came on back. Now, if somebody gets hurt here, the Falcons will certainly have their phone available. But, you know, just looking internally, you know, Michael Penix Jr. had three major surgeries in college, I don't say he's injury prone, but hey, it might be good to have some good insurance behind him if something happens to him too. So Their backup quarterback plan is maybe looking a little bit better than we originally thought. I mean, you paid them the money. That's what their position is. Hey, we already paid them, so we might as well keep them. And that's how they're approaching it thus far.
D, how has Kirk Cousins handled this? Because the one thing about Kurt, he's always been a very professional guy. And listen, if they're paying me $40-something million, yeah, it kind of calms my nerves too a little bit. But he has really handled the offseason and what's happened to him very, very well. And I'll get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I don't think so, because I had a run-in with him at the Super Bowl where he had a couple of protectors, decline an interview request after he went on TV talking about he was injured. So, he's trying to keep that same profile, but, I saw another side of him in New Orleans. He was at the Procter & Gamble pickleball thing, and they invited us to come interview him. And then afterwards he tried to sneak out the green room and declined the interview, and his guys got a little testy about it. So I'm not buying that, hey, cool Kurt image stuff that he's created, but good for him. He hasn't publicly dissed anybody. He's quietly going about it, and I guess he should be lauded for that.
Yeah, Dee, before we let you run, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Michael Penix. He only started 3 games at the back end of the season last year, so it's still a little bit of an unknown, but the excitement level for the young quarterback who the Falcons shocked everyone with, taking with the 8th overall pick in 2024.
Yeah, he did enough. I mean, I saw the throws. He beat the Giants, went to overtime against the Commanders and Daniels, and then put 38 up on the Panthers, and connected with wide receiver Drake London, spread it around to Bijan. They did enough to see, hey, we might have some here. We definitely got the weapons around him already. They went out and got the weapons first, and then dropped the quarterback in there. That was the plan Terry had told me about, and it's just a matter of finding the right coach and the right quarterback. And they believe they've done that with Raheem and Zach Robinson and Mike Penix Jr.
They picked up the 5th-year option today on Drake London, correct? Is there the plan in place to try to sign him long-term, or just they have not been able to come up with the financial terms yet?
Yeah, they're a little tight right now. spending all that money on Kirk Cousins, but I'm sure they told Drake, hey, we got you coming. You're not going to get anywhere near free agency. So, but I think right now they're not in a position to do an early extension with him, but I'm sure they have an understanding and maybe even an agreement that, hey, that's coming maybe next summer, maybe early next summer, certainly before the free agency market hits, maybe even later in the season here. No, the old regime under Tom Dimitroff and them, they would do them in November. So I'll be looking around Halloween to see if they are ready to extend Drake London and lock him up for the future.
D, thanks so much for joining us. Hey, it's the one thing you can say about the NFL. Other than from like June 10th to July 10th, they make this 11 month out the year. You got to cover them if it's the draft, it's free agency, it's the OTAs. There's always drama somewhere in the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, the OTAs are coming up. Rookie mini camps mixed in there. Then you got the mandatories in June. Then you get a break for that. But, yeah, the NFL has turned it into pretty much an 11-month operation. And, hey, I'd rather be working than doing the alternative.
Exactly. D, thanks so much for joining us, but always appreciate it.
All right, Mark and Charlie, y'all take care. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, D.
All righty. D. Yeah. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and he's right. They've turned this, and as I brought up, 11 months out of the year. And if they could figure out a way to kick the draft back a little bit and have something else occur, they would do it. They want the 12 months completely to be saturated with NFL.
That late June into early July is the only dead period we really have for the NFL season, Mike.
Yeah, that's why I always tell Jay Johnson when we have him on, hey, coach, I'm hanging on the thread. You got to extend this to me. And that's also certainly with the NBA draft and everything else that's involved. But, man, ain't nothing like – pro football, college football to cover. When we come back, it'll be our Bet 365 feature right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 is part of our Bet 365 triple option feature. Steve, I'll let you go first.
Well, gentlemen, after last night's game, I got to give a lot of love to Bear Jones. Hit it, Charlie.
Correction, as that one has absolutely gone to the moon. Towards the scoreboard and left. Bye-bye baseball. Back-to-back jacks for LSU, and it's home run number 15 for the Bear.
You heard the call there. Jared Jones, 15th homer of the season. That's his now 57th of his career, and he's moved into sole possession of fifth place on the all-time LSU home run list. He just passed Blake Dean. He is one behind outfielder Dylan Cruz, who's got 58, two behind infielder Trey McClure, who's got 59. The other two guys, I don't think he's catching guys. Brad Cressy has 78 home runs, and then the great Eddie Furness, 80 home runs for the Bayou Bengals. So Jared Jones on his way to becoming third all-time on the LSU home run list, currently number five right now. Pretty impressive for the Bear.
Steve, if I'm pitching against him, he's not going to get that record off me.
Oh, for you, right.
Oh, no. Jack, I'll let you take the walk, or I'll give you everything outside. I'm not throwing you in nothing that you can hit for no home run. And I see it game in, game out. Guys throwing the ball, a fastball right over in the middle of the plate. My thing is, hey, have you watched film? This guy is going to pop it out of there. You wonder a little bit about that. Charlie?
Yeah, guys, before I get to mine, it's so funny here, the calls as well, because they just know it right off the bat.
Oh, yeah. Like, no doubt.
Jared Jones, when he hits a home run, he punishes that baseball. Like it stole his lunch money or something. He just pops it. Anyways, guys, I'm going with something MLB Pipeline put out. The top 100 MLB draft prospects yesterday, and LSU has a couple of names on here worth keeping in mind. Number 9 is Cade Anderson, their ace of their pitching staff. Number 66 is Daniel Dickinson, the second baseman. Number 78 is Chase Shores, who was the Sunday starter, has kind of moved into maybe a bullpen role, depending on what Jay decides to do with the weekend rotation. He's number 78 on the list. Number 90, just who we're just talking about, Jared Jones, the first baseman, the slugger there for LSU. And at number 132, Anthony Ianson, the Saturday starter. So
132 for Ianson, man.
LSU well represented on this list, though. Five of the top 150 MLB draft prospects.
Man, that seems awfully low for Ianson. I'm shocked.
Yeah, Ianson's got great strikeout stuff. And so I think that's going to play at the next level.
For
and
sure.
I think he's probably going to get selected even higher than something like 132. But the one that really stood out to me, guys, Cade Anderson, top 10. I know we talked with Koki, you know, a couple weeks ago, I think before the Alabama series, about Cade and, you know, if you're worried about his arm after throwing so many pitches against Oklahoma. And he's just like, folks don't really care. Like, he can give up, you know, four runs against Auburn or whatever. They have, like, an off week. Like, all these scouts have seen what this kid can do. And there's a reason that he's going to be at the top of a lot of draft boards come the MLB draft later this summer.
You know, one thing with Ianson is, Charlie, I agree with you, but there are moments, and almost every time he pitches, is that he struggles in an inning.
Early, Mike. He's not like a bullpen guy at the next level. Because if you throw him out there for one inning, he might have, you know, it'll be on and off. But once he gets into the proverbial rocking chair, as we like to call it, he can get going and just sit down seven straight batters with strikeouts. I mean, that's the type of pitcher that Ianson is. He's just got to avoid, you know, the slow starts. And I think that's going to be a key for him for the rest of the season and into postseason play.
That, I think, is the one sort of negative. I think scouts that have seen him have kind of relayed that he does have that tendency, and it's just not every once in a while. It's almost every game he pitches. He kind of gets himself in a real big jam, but he normally gets himself out of that. But that's a trait. Oh, you can say, oh, that's one of those RAS type deals that you put in the computer, but it is part of his game. Guys, today on Pat McAfee, Jason Light, the general manager of the Tampa Bay Bucks, and we talked about this before. No one in the NFC South has picked as well as what Jason Light and what he's been able to do in this soft rebuild of the Bucks post Tom Brady. And they asked him about where character fits on the Bucks draft board. And he said, it's really not that hard. We put the players in that are worthy of being drafted on the draft board like every team does. But then we just kind of take out the a-holes and the douchebags and we take them off. The guys that don't love football and the guys that have proven they don't like it, they're difficult to deal with, and we just going to mitigate our risks. We're taking great players that are also great humans. Isn't that cutting it to the nutshell? I'm not taking a shot at a guy that I think kind of likes football. He better love it, and he better not give me no trouble off the field. Now, things sometimes happen that kind of can swirl you into getting into maybe a little bit of trouble. But, man, I see they got some teams, they wouldn't take guys off the board for anything. It's all about pure talent.
And Jason's done a great job there, as you mentioned, Mike, over the years drafting. But I think he did it again this year. Emeka Ebuka is someone that we talked a lot about in the pre-draft process, is that somebody is going to get a stud in the 20s, right? In that he may fall past 25-ish. He'll be one of those players that good teams draft good players, right? And so late in the first round, a team's going to get a stud in Ebuka. He doesn't even get to 20. Because the Buccaneers realized that, hey, this is our Chris Godwin replacement. Let's go scoop him up and watch him just have a 10-year productive NFL career. And that's just the first-round pick. You take a swing on Benjamin Morrison in the second round, the corner out of Notre Dame. If he's healthy and the medicals are good, which obviously they're confident they are, he would have been a first-round pick this year, Mike. And then Jacob Parrish, who's a slot corner in the third round. They just keep doing it every single year. They just reload their roster with fresh, young talent. And it looks like Jason Light did it again this year.
Yeah, my medical staff would have to convince me on Benjamin Morrison, because that's a hip injury for a corner.
It's scary.
And the way you have to swivel, turn, get back in transition, they'd have to convince me all's good with Benjamin. I agree with you. Had he not had that injury, man, he ain't getting out of the top 20 picks.
Agreed.
He's a big, tall cover corner. And so for the Bucks to get him, and they certainly have a need for cornerbacks and defensive backs, it was a pick that can really turn out to be good if he's healthy. That's it for our Bet 365 triple option feature. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettey along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. When we come back, Todd Walker from the SEC Network will join us right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.